Today's scripture reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Christians there in Rome. Hear now these words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day, beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? It is a beautiful day. Doesn't matter what it's like outside, can be a beautiful day inside.
Today we conclude our series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And as you might have guessed, we've been using the long-running Mr. Rogers Neighborhood as a means by which to help us better understand what it means to love our neighbor. What does that look like, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves? And so we've looked at Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan and talked about the fact that Jesus isn't calling us to discern or identify who is our neighbor, who's in, who's out, but instead simply to be a neighbor to anyone and everyone. We've looked at how being a neighbor means being hospitable, something that 1 Peter encourages us to do, but to do so without grumbling, because just like today, back then, they grumbled, we grumble. All right, we're not always the most hospitable. But if we create margins in our lives, you know, if we're intentional in creating that time and that space to being hospitable, then we're able to do so without being grumbly, I guess is a good way to say that. And then we've looked at hospitality and being a neighbor and how a table and food helps bring people together. That's a part of being a neighbor. That's part of extending hospitality. Food breaks down barriers. Food brings people together. It's at the table that many times we meet Jesus. You know, it was at the table that people experienced Jesus's mercy and love and grace and forgiveness time and time and time again throughout the scriptures. And so we're called, you know, we're called, if we're going to be a neighbor, to be hospitable, you know, to use the table and the food as a means of doing that. And I hope throughout the series, it's been a good one for you, that we've had a lot of fun doing it. But my prayer is not that this would be a series, oh yeah, that was a good one, I feel good about it. But it's actually a series that you have been encouraged to live out. I think every series is that, but especially this one, that we're encouraging you to live this out in your lives. That's why we here at St. Stephen, we've done things to help people do that. We have sent postcards to our neighbors, kind of anonymously. We've encouraged people, again, to create margins in their lives so that they can be a neighbor and show hospitality to other people. We invited our congregation to practice being neighborly when our choir camp children led us in worship a few weeks ago. And so we had a lot of guests, a lot of neighbors who were here who are not normally here. And so we said this is a great opportunity to come and to be neighborly, to be a neighbor to these to folks. So we've encouraged that. Our children have written cards and thank you notes to those who serve and protect us in our neighborhood. You've been invited. Our folks here have been invited to attend or to host what's called a neighborhood hotspot. It's again, food brings people together. We're gathering around the table simply for conversation, not to promote the church, but just to get to know our neighbors and to get to know one another and to have meaningful kind of conversations around that. So that's been encouraged. Our youth have made cookies and they delivered them to some of our neighbors who can't get out very much. And the hope is that these kind of things have encouraged you to be neighborly, to be hospitable, to live into these things that we've been talking about. But really for these things not to end, but simply to continue on. And all of it has to do with encouraging each of us to live differently. I mean, again, this is not, we don't want this series just to end and then we move on to something else, but to realize, again, that being a neighbor calls us to live differently. And so hopefully Mr. Rogers has helped us understand that, inspired us to do so. You know, I've said this before, Mr. Rogers, he wasn't a character on a children's television show. It was Fred Rogers simply being Fred Rogers. I mean, he was a man who was dedicated to living differently, even when it wasn't a popular thing to do. If you ever watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he was always willing to tackle difficult subjects, but in a way that children could understand. So on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he talked about things like death and divorce and depression and conflict and wars and even racial equality and inequality. For example, in 1968, Fred invited a man by the name of Francois Clemens to be a regular on the show. Rogers asked Francois to come on the show and to play the role of the neighborhood police officer. Now, it was a role that at first Clemens rejected because, you know what, police officers, in his experience, was not very positive, all right? Especially he lived through the civil rights movement, and so police officers were not seen in the best light. And so he really rejected initially taking on that role. But finally he made the decision to take that risky step and that bold step and portray the character. And in doing so, he became one of the first African Americans who had a recurring role on a children's program. And in one particular episode in 1969, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, is seen cooling his feet in a little swimming pool when Officer Clemens comes for a visit. Take a look.
Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Mr. Rogers, how are you?
Fine. Won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh,
come along,
man.
I'll put some more water in here.
Oh. This is going to turn into a beautiful day.
You like bare feet?
Well, yeah, as I grew older, I liked it more and more.
Uh-huh. Good for you. You're pulling up your pants. I forgot to do that at first.
Oh, I don't want them to get wet.
Right.
Oh, that feels great.
Right here.
You know, when you're a policeman, you do an awful lot of walking. And sometimes your feet get tired.
Right.
That feels better already.
Good.
Just massage them a little bit.
Cool water on a hot day.
Well,
Thank you for your refreshments.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
You're welcome, Officer Clement.
Shall we turn this off?
Mm-hmm. Is that enough?
Oh, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, that was so enjoyable. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer.
Well, I know how busy you are. But sometimes just a minute like this will really make a difference.
There, that one's dry. And now, that one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That one scene was a monumental moment and a very powerful statement, for when Clemens sat down and placed his feet in the pool right next to Rogers, the two men, they broke a well-known color barrier. Now, even though back in 1969, segregation had ended, it was no longer the law of the land, black citizens were still not embraced as equal participants in life. And one of the places you would see this was at the many community pools throughout the country, where black folks were kept from sharing the water with white folks. But on Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, not only did they share the water together, did you notice that? They also shared a towel together. Now, it would be easy to point to Mr. Rogers as being the hero of the story, but the truth is both men were intentional in deciding to live differently. Now, on a side note, Officer Clemens, his last appearance on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood program was in 1993. And during that episode, he and Fred Rogers, they recreated the pool scene, actually. And so I actually got a clip of that, and I want you to take a look at that. Take a look at it. So here it is.
Francois Clemens, hi, welcome.
Thank you, how you doing?
Fine, how are you today?
Fine.
My feet were tired, so I thought I'd just soak them for a while in this water.
Does it make them feel better?
It does. Would you like to try?
Sure.
I'm so proud of you, Francois.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
Can I help you here?
Thank you.
Now, did you notice anything different in that scene versus the original one? Other than them being older, okay? Of course, they were older. But if you were watching closely, you would have seen not only their feet in the pool together, and not only Mr. Rogers offering to Officer Clemens his towel, but did you notice Mr. Rogers actually toweling off Officer Clemens' feet? Did you see that? It was another intentional and monumental statement in that moment. See, Jesus' call to love our neighbor is a call to live differently. Being a neighbor to anyone and everyone, and rather than deciding who's in and who's out, is a call to live differently. You know, showing hospitality to anyone and everyone is a call to live differently. Inviting a neighbor who is of a different race to cool their feet in the same swimming pool as you are doing so, which was unthinkable at that time, was living differently. Paul, in his letters to the Romans, he reaffirms this. What did he say? He begins, love must be sincere. It must be genuine. It must be authentic, right? It's not putting on a face on Sunday morning and being someone different on Monday, okay? And so he says, love must be sincere. And then he outlines how we are to love one another. And so what does he say? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Honor one another above yourselves. Jesus said the same things, okay? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. I mean, these things don't need explanations, right? We know what it means to put others first, to share with those in need. We talked about hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. It's just reemphasizing what Jesus said, right? Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Rejoice and pray for them. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. In other words, just simply be present. Presence is the greatest gift that God gives to us, all right? He doesn't promise us that he's going to deliver us from the valley of the shadow of death, but he does say, I'm going to be with you in the midst of it. I will be present, right? I mean, here's the deal. When we are present with God, And then we go and we're present with people as they face maybe unimaginable pain or unending darkness or unsolvable problems or unanswerable questions. You know, we are bringing the presence of God with us. It's one of the reasons we here at St. Stephen, we have something called Stephen's Ministry. All right, it's a ministry of presence, of walking with other people. All right? So walking with others. See, we can't fix every problem and we can't address every need and we don't have the resources to give to everyone. But you know what? We can be present because it's in our presence that gives us the invitation to invite Jesus into that circumstance. You know, I think one of the reasons Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood endured for as long as it did on TV from 1968 until 2001 is because you could count on Mr. Rogers' presence on PBS every day. You could count on him putting on his sweater and his tennis shoes and being present with you as a child. And through his presence, you knew that you were valued. You knew that you were cared for. You knew that you were loved. Through his presence, you saw the face of Jesus, even though he never said the word, and even though you may have never recognized it. Be present. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Now, why did Paul have to say this? Because people during Paul's day had a hard time doing that just as we do today. Okay? And so, it was difficult to find harmony then. It's difficult, or maybe even more so, to find harmony now. But here's the thing. Harmony doesn't mean that you agree with everyone. It's not conformity, okay? Harmony is not conformity. It's not even the absence of conflict. Harmony in a relationship does not mean that we would agree with each other on the contents of life or on what we should or shouldn't be, what happened or what didn't happen. It means that we share an intention to understand and to know each other in agreement or even in disagreement, right? And everything in between. It's being intentional in trying to understand and to know each other, okay? It's not about agreement, right? It's not the absence of conflict. It's just, hey, I value you are important. You are a child of God. You are my neighbor. And so we're going to be in a relationship together. Even if we don't agree and don't see things eye to eye. So Paul says, live in harmony with one another. He says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You know, Fred Rogers once said this. He said, I have friends whom this world might call minimal as far as not only their station in life, but their level of intelligence and buying power. These friends to me, said Fred, have been some of the greatest blessings I've known. See, when you begin to understand that everyone is your neighbor, then the things that separate us begin to fall away. When you begin to understand that no one is truly better than anyone else, even though we might be in a better position or a worse position than someone else, in the eyes of God, we are all equal. No one is better than anyone else. Paul says, do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I mean, when we strive to do these things, we can't help but live differently. I mean, it's one of the reasons the early church grew so rapidly. I mean, the early church, it garnered the attention of the ancient world, not because of their beliefs, okay? But it was because of the way they lived. They lived differently. It was because of the dignity that they placed upon people, the value and the hospitality that they extended to people. I mean, to the Romans, it wasn't that the Christians believed that the things that they believed that stood out. It was how they acted. Again, what they did, how they lived differently. Emperor Julian said this. He said, it is a scandal that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. While those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. I mean, Julian couldn't stand the notion that anyone would think that there was someone more noble or good or compassionate than the Roman Empire. And Julian, he went on to say this. He said, let us not permit others to excel us in good deeds. Aristides was a second century Athenian philosopher. And he said this, because of Christians, good flows on in the world. It was because the early church didn't fit with its surrounding culture, but rather challenged it, in love, that Christianity eventually had such an effect on it. Because they are intentional in living differently, because they viewed everyone as their neighbor, because of their hospitality. And Fred Rogers, he did the same thing. He challenged the surrounding culture, but he did so in love. Right? He put his faith into action without ever mentioning the name of Jesus in his program. I mean, it was subtle as dipping his feet in a pool along with Officer Clemens. Here's the thing. We're called to do the same thing in our neighborhood. To be present and to put our faith into action is not about good intentions or good thoughts or well wishes. I mean, those things don't change circumstances. I mean, Jesus' greatest demonstration of love towards us wasn't his good thoughts or wasn't his well wishes, but it was the action that he took on behalf of us, on behalf of the world. I mean, living differently, when you really kind of break it down, it's not real hard. I mean, it's about a mindset. It's about being intentional. Intentional. So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, what is one way in which I can live differently? What is one way that I can live differently? All right, not just think about it, all right, because more than just an intention. What is one way I can live and to do that, to put it into action, right? For example, for those of us here at St. Stephen, here in our community, it might be to be a lunch buddy at our partner school, Eastway Middle School, right? In your own community. I guarantee you there's a school that has lunch buddies that you could go and have lunch with a child. Then that's a way that you might live differently. We're hoping people here at St. Stephen will do something like that. I mean, you might decide to give up something financially, you know, like maybe that cup of gourmet coffee that you have once or twice or three times a week. You give up one of those cups or maybe instead of going out for lunch during the work week, you know, that one extra time, you take those funds and you give that, donate that to a worthy cause. The cup of coffee or the cost of a lunch. That's one way to live differently. I mean, you might take up a spiritual discipline. You might, again, create some margin in your life in the morning or in the evening, and you do a devotional, or you do a scripture reading, or you do something simple as, hey, you know what, this is what I'm thankful for today. Right? It's living differently. What are you going to do to live differently? I mean, you could invite someone for brunch or for lunch that maybe you don't know very well, but you know them, but you know what, you go to lunch and you... Again, because what does food do? It brings us together. It invites conversations. We get to know people. It's about being a neighbor, being hospitable. You could rekindle a friendship with someone that you haven't talked to in a long while. You could pay it forward. Right? We talk about this, but not through a drive-through, okay, at a fast food restaurant. Not to pay for the person behind you in line. I mean, that's great, but you know what? There's no connection, really. But how about you do it a little bit differently? And while you're inside, and maybe you're standing in line to purchase your food, you pay for the person in front of you there, or maybe the person behind you there. And who knows, it might spark a new friendship, but you'll have an opportunity to connect, okay? So again, putting it into action, how to live differently. What's one thing that you can do to live differently? Again, not just to think about it, but to do it. And here's what I encourage you to do right now is just to actually write it down. All right, here's how I'm going to live differently. One thing, I am going to, and you write it down, because when you write it down, you're more likely to do it. All right, so I don't want you just to think about it. I want you to write it down. Take a moment this morning to write that down. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. So every day, hey, I'm going to live differently in this way. You know, Amy Hollingsworth, again, the author who wrote The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers, she did interviews with him. They became very good friends. She says, the very last time I saw Fred in person, I asked him a question for no apparent reason, except perhaps out of idle curiosity. I asked him, if you had one final broadcast, one final opportunity to address your television neighbors, and you could tell them the single most important lesson of your life, what would you say? She said, Fred paused for a moment and then said, ever so slowly, of course, well, I would want those who were listening somehow to know that they had unique value, that there isn't anybody in the whole world exactly like them, and that there never has been and never will be another person like them, and that they are loved by the person who created them in a unique way. If they could know that and really know it and have that behind their eyes, they could look with those eyes on their neighbor and realize, my neighbor has unique value too. There's never been anyone in the whole world like my neighbor, and there never will be. If they could value that person, if they could love that person in ways that we know that the eternal loves us, then I would be very grateful. Fred Rogers passed away in 2003 from stomach cancer. And during the report of Fred's death on the nightly news program on NBC, the network that Fred first got his start on, the reporter Bob Fall said this. He said, the real Mr. Rogers never preached, never even mentioned God on his show. And then Fall added, he never had to. What's the most important commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or as Mr. Rogers said, the person you just happen to be with at the moment. Go and do likewise. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the love that you extend to us, even when we don't recognize it. Love that is present in our lives, even when we don't see it, oh Lord. Your presence in us and around us and through the people around us, we give you thanks for that. For you promise us that you're not going to always deliver us from whatever situation we might be in, but you will be present. And so, Lord, help us to be present with those around us as well. Help us to be a neighbor, to recognize that our neighbor is anyone and everyone, especially the person we happen to be with at the moment. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks for Fred Rogers, for inspiration, for the way he lived differently. Help us to do the same, to reflect the image of your Son as well. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things.